Please mark in your handbooks to number 730.
730. Seeing that after three minutes in the table. Then you'll go through to number 757. 757. After singing song for the life of Jesus, the word of prayer, and the reign of the blessed.
Oh, once I stood.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you thankful for the day that you've given us, for all the many blessings in this life that you so richly have granted to us, Father, for this opportunity to be able to come together to study your word, to sing songs of praise to your name, Father. We're thankful for everything that you've done for us, Father, but above all, we're so thankful for the love that you have shown all mankind in sending Jesus to this world to be our sacrifice for our sins and suffering and dying a horrible death on that cross, that through it, Father, we can come before you, we can ask for forgiveness, confess our sins, and have confidence and faith, Father, that you will forgive us of those things and remember them no more, Father, if we truly repent and turn from those things, Father, and live a life that's pleasing to you. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of those that that we know of that are sick, that are on the minds of those here. We pray, Heavenly Father, that if it be your will, we pray that you would return them to better portions of their health. Father, we pray for those that are unable to be with us this evening, that are traveling. We pray, Father, that you would give them a safe journey and bring them back to us at the next appointed time. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of this country, for of everything that's going on in this country, and how many are leading us away from the principles and from everything you've set for us. We pray, Father, that you will help us to be strong, but as well, Father, help us to to realize and understand that this place is temporary and that our citizenship is not necessarily here, Father, but we need to look to the one that lasts forever, and that's the one in eternity with you. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for those that preach and teach your word around the world. We're especially thankful, Father, for Randy, for his efforts here. We pray that you would continue to be with him. And as he brings us the invitation this evening, Father, we pray that you would give him a remembrance of those things that he's prepared for us, and that we will take those truths, Father, that we will apply them to our lives. Father, we're thankful for the elders that you've granted here at this place. We pray, Father, that you would give them wisdom and help us to be an encouragement to them, that they can fulfill the responsibilities that have been given to them in your church. Heavenly Father, as we go through the remainder of the service, we pray that we do everything, Father, in truth and in spirit, giving you all glory and honor in everything that we do. And Father, we look forward to the day that we can enter into that home of eternal rest with you, with your Son, and our Lord and our Savior, who went before us in death and has come out a victor on the other side, and we can have that same victory with him. And we pray all these things through his blessed name. Amen.
Today is June 21st. It's the longest day of the year. You know what that says about my invitation? Absolutely nothing. I do want to talk just for a few minutes. And one of the things that that we notice in the world today is a lot of people don't know a lot about the Bible. And sometimes they may think they do, and they'll quote some things. I'll just read a few things for you here. Cleanliness is next to godliness. You've heard that said before. God helps those who help themselves. An honest confession is good for the soul. Money is the root of all evil. Honesty is the best policy. Spare the rod and spoil the child. You know what all those have in common? And some of those statements are what you'd call a truism, but none of those statements, as I read them, are in the scriptures. But they're quoted many times as they are, you know, scripture. And I say that to just say that we need to be, you know, people of the book. We are encouraged in Acts chapter 17, you know, starting in verse 10, as Paul and Silas have been driven from Thessalonica, they come to Berea, about 50 miles southwest of where they were, and they entered into the synagogue, and they spoke to the Jews there, and they taught. And you know Paul's a pretty reputable person, and in these days, but you know what the Bereans did? They checked up on what Paul said. I don't know how I would have felt about that if I were Paul. But let's read what it has to say. Acts chapter 17, verse 10. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as the men. And so the Berean brethren here were commended. In fact, it says that they were more noble than where Paul and Silas had just come from, Thessalonica. It shows that they had these good qualities, and but they were hearing the word, and it says that they heard it with all readiness of mind. And so certainly that is a very commendable thing when we are hearing the Word of God. It should be something that we're eager to hear and that we're eager to apply if it is indeed the Word of God. And so they gave it a consideration. And they also investigated it. And so today, I think many times we will take somebody's word for something just because we trust that person, or maybe they're a respected author or somebody that we have looked up to before. And certainly I made that point already with Paul. I think Paul's reputation would have preceded him here, but they still checked out what it was that he said. And that was not to cut down Paul or to be they had no axe to grind with him, but they wanted to know what the Scriptures were saying. It says that their nobility was manifested in their examining the Scriptures to see whether these things were so. In our next quarter, we're going to be looking at the book of Romans, and so we're going to return to a book study. And we like doing the topical studies as we've been doing recently, but we like to get into the book and go verse by verse and study and see what it says and to apply those things. And so what you could say about the Bereans here is that they were not gullible. They were not gullible, and they examined what was being said. And I imagine that Paul appreciated that very much, that they had that attitude toward the truth. In fact, we're told, 1 John chapter 4, that we should test all things. And so this was not a testing of Paul, so to speak. This was a testing of the truth. You know, what is true? This was not a purpose to entrap the teachers. And, you know, many times when you hear a preacher speak, and I guess it's not as common as it used to be, but and maybe it should be, that a preacher would say, you know, if I say anything that you think is not correct, you know, you would be my friend to let me know, because I want to be able to defend the truth and know what the truth is. And if I'm mistaken about something, then we would want to know. And anybody that is a true seeker of the truth would not be offended by that at all. If someone said, you know, you said this, but you know, where did you see that in the Scriptures? Should the teacher be offended by that? No, they shouldn't. If it can't be found in the Word of God, then it shouldn't be said. It should be able to be defended. And so they tested those things, and it was the people of Berea that were doing that. Another thing that we see that I think leads to them being called noble is evidence in the results that followed. Because not only did they hear the word, it says that many of them responded to it. Because of the good attitude that they had, they readily adopted the word of God. And it doesn't say that some believed, but it says many believed. And so the Scriptures, the gospel, did exactly what it was supposed to do. It bore fruit. And the reason that it's that we're told these things here is because it says that they are worthy of imitation. That you need to be the same way. And tonight in our class we talked about Diotrephes, and when we hear that name we know, well, that's something that we don't want to adopt. But here is another name, the Bereans, and when we hear that, we associate that with something good. Always, when we talk about the Bereans, everybody knows that the Bereans are the ones that tested the Scriptures and looked at what Paul was saying to see if these things were so. And then they had open minds and they adopted the Word of God. And so, you know, what would happen if they had not given Paul a fair hearing? Heard this story that an occurrence at Yellowstone National Park. There was a ranger who was leading a group of hikers, you know, to a lookout, and was so intent on showing the hikers about all of the flowers and things that were around them that he turned off his radio because it kept distracting him from what he was doing. And as they were nearing the place that they were going, he was met by another ranger who was breathless and said, "Why did you turn off your radio? I've been trying to contact you." He said, "Well, it bothered me." He said, "I've been trying to tell you that there's a grizzly bear that has been stalking your group." And so, you know, what's the purpose of that radio? That should have never been silenced or turned off. But I say that to say that sometimes people treat the scriptures that way. You know, they just want to turn it off. And if the Bereans had not given Paul and the others a fair hearing, you know, they wouldn't have heard what they needed to hear. So the point is that we never turn off the Word of God. We always listen to it with an open mind. And as we get older, we certainly should never think that, "Well, I'm so old that I know everything now." No, as you get older, you start to realize how much you don't know. And I think the older we get and the more mature we get, the more we understand that we don't understand everything. One writer said, I haven't tried this myself, but if you would take the Bible and read it slowly, and loud enough to be heard and understood, that it would take you about 71 hours to read it all the way through at kind of a normal pace. So you think about that. If you break that down into minutes and into days, you could read the entire Bible cover to cover in about 12 minutes a day. That's not much, is it? But how much time do we really spend investigating the Word of God and reading the Word of God? The study of the Scriptures is something that is so very important to us, but it is so neglected. And I'm so encouraged when we read about the Bereans and the way that they tested the truth and look at it, determine if it's so, if somebody's speaking the Word of God. The best sound in any congregation is the sound of pages turning, or I guess now of your fingers going across your screen and opening up your online Bible. But like the Bereans, say, well, they were a little bit different than the people that were in Thessalonica. They were different. So, you know, we can be a little different too. Let's certainly be different in that we demand to put our trust in the unchangeable Word of God. I think one of the best compliments that we can ever have as a congregation is to have a visitor come in and say, "I really enjoyed your Bible study because you really got into the Scriptures." And we've had that from time to time. And that to be considered people of the Word or people of the book, you know, it's not that we're worshiping the book, and I think sometimes people have a misunderstanding of that. We're not worshiping the Bible, we're worshiping God. We're worshiping the Creator that the Bible reveals to us. But the only way that we know that Creator is by reading this Word and what He has revealed to us. So let's place so much importance on getting to know Him better. And the only way we can do that is through being like the Bereans, studying and becoming more and more acquainted with His will for us. So I would leave you with that encouragement tonight. If you have studied the Scriptures and have come to an understanding, just like those in Berea did, what did they do when they came to the knowledge? Well, they were obedient to the Word of God. And so knowing it is one thing, but being obedient to it is certainly the next step and the most important one that we can take in our lives in service to God. If we can help you in any way be obedient to the gospel, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God.
Dear our everlasting Father, we come to you in prayer at this midweek study that we have to study your words so that we can come to a better understanding of you as we share knowledge amongst each other in hopes to be better Christians and share your word to others in the best way that we can. Thank you for the day that you've given to us, that we've been able to come together and worship together and learn more about your word. We thank you for the ability you've given to us to come to you in prayer, that we can, through your Son, that we can bring our problems to you, and that we know that you hear us, and then that you speak back to us in the word that you've given to us. We ask that you help those who cannot be with us, that whether it be a physical or spiritual pain, that they can deal with those things and return to us again so that we can share our knowledge as they share theirs, as we come to a mutually beneficial understanding of you. We ask that you help us to leave our mark carefully on the world, that we can be the best example we can to those around us as we shine your light into it. We ask that you help us to keep prayer in our lives regularly as it is a great way to lift our burdens on this world. We thank you for the comfort to know that you're in control of the world around us, and that you love us no matter what goes on in the dealings of people here. We thank you for sending your Son to die on that cross so that we can have the hope to be in heaven after this life, and that we can always look towards that as we go about our dealings on this earth. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
that I may have